He wasn't ready for a family.
He had a child, another one on the way, no job.
So you all planned a wedding.
He wasn't prepared for marriage.
Did she put $1,000 down on the ring?
I don't believe so.
I don't want to hear believe so.
But he'd better brace himself for Judy.
Who is this?
My girlfriend.
It's not a good idea to rub a new girlfriend into your old fiancé's face so soon. That's a big mistake on your part, sir.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Cindy and Terry Thompson and their daughter Samantha Fricke are suing Samantha's ex-fiancé, Robert Gusa, for car repair and for money spent on a canceled wedding.
Order. All rise. Yes, yeah, case number 410 and case number 416 on the calendar in the matter of Thompson versus Gusa and Frick versus Gusa. Parties have been sworn in. Have a seat.
Mr. Gusa, who is this?
My girlfriend, Desmarie Gerard.
What is she doing here?
She's a witness for me.
A witness for what?
She was following me around one night, Samantha was.
And?
And I was with her.
And?
And she was all suspicious about me cheating on her and everything else.
And?
That's about it.
So she really is useless here. I just want to know if she's just here as an irritant. And if she is just here as an irritant, that's a big mistake on your part, sir, because you have two children of this lady. Do you understand?
I do.
Good. And I would assume that if you were a smart man, you wouldn't want to create a situation where it would make it uncomfortable for you to be part of your children's lives, right?
Yes.
So it's not a good idea to rub a new girlfriend into your old fiancé's face so soon. Do we understand each other?
Yes.
Perfect. Having gotten that out of my system, Now we're ready to start these cases. Mr. and Mrs. Thompson?
Yes.
And you're Miss Fricke. You have two children with him.
Yes.
Your mother and father took him into your house. You lived in your mother and father's house for a while with one of your children because I assume you didn't have enough money to get your own place. Is that right?
Well, they moved Rob and I into their house.
That's exactly what I said, because you didn't have enough money to get your own place. Right?
Yes.
And then you do what every smart person does that doesn't have enough money to move into their own place with a child that they created. You went and had another child.
Yes.
Perfect. And then there was a wedding that was supposed to happen because it would have been nice for your mother and father if their daughter got married to the father of her 1.5 children. Right, Mr. Thompson?
Yes, Your Honor.
So you all planned a wedding. Mm-hmm. And then your daughter became suspicious that he was fooling around with somebody else and caught him coming out of something with somebody, probably her, and the whole thing blew up. And you want him to be responsible for everything now. A loan that you made to have his car fixed, wedding expenses, and everything else. What's the make and model of the car that you gave him money for to have fixed?
It's a 2000-something Pontiac Grand Am.
And who was driving that car, Miss Fricke?
The 2001 Grand Am, Rob.
Not you?
No.
What car were you driving?
I have a minivan.
Did you ever drive his car?
Sometimes.
Did you ever drive this car when it started to have trouble?
No.
Tell me about the money that you took from them to fix your car.
Samantha was driving the car. She was driving it for about a year.
What year?
I'd have to say probably 2007.
Yeah?
While she was driving it, right before we were getting ready to move to the Thompson's house, something with the motor went wrong. So I had a couple of estimates done, and they said it'd be anywhere from 2,000 plus to have another motor
put
into it.
Did you have another car when this
I was driving a 2000 Dodge Ram pickup. It was my father's truck. That is why I let Mrs. Fricke drive it.
Is that right?
He had a work truck.
Listen, let's not play with me. Were you driving the Pontiac and he was driving his truck in 2007?
Actually, I bought my minivan in 2006. It was 2005 that I drove that Pontiac. And it sat parked once I got my minivan.
And what happened to his father's truck?
His father took it back once he moved in with my parents.
Great! Well, they're not going to fix your car. And if your father wanted it to be great, he would have let you keep the truck. But he didn't let you keep the truck, did he?
No.
Took back the truck? The car wasn't running, you needed a car. Were you working?
I was working at that time, just about to begin school.
Well, you weren't working much, according to what I read.
No, between school and pretty much just the summertime I worked.
Yeah, so you weren't working much. You decided to go to school. To go to school to be what?
Building utility mechanic.
Did you finish that school?
No.
Are you still going to that school?
I got the semester off and I'm continuing.
So the answer is no, you're not still going to that school. Who are you living with?
I am living with her in her grandparents' house.
She's not pregnant, is she?
No.
Wouldn't be a good idea.
No.
You got to move in to your own house one day, Mr. Guza.
I know.
Yeah. Can't go from parents to grandparents. You'll eventually have to stand up on your own two feet, especially when you have fathered two children. So who's supposed to pay to fix your car?
They agreed to have the car fixed since Samantha was driving it when it blew up.
They agreed to have the car fixed even though she had her own minivan?
She didn't have the minivan at that time. When the car blew up, that is when she started looking.
In what year did the car blow up?
She says 2005. I thought it was later.
In what year did the car... In what year did the car blow up?
It didn't. He drove the car to my parents' house. It was still running.
What year?
Probably 2007.
I'm not interested in 2007. We're now in 2010. So forget about the car. Did he pay back any part of that money?
No.
So in 2007, you gave him money to fix the car. He never paid it back, and you went ahead with wedding plans.
Yes, ma'am.
That you expect him to pay for, too.
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, that's not happening.
Well,
if you made a loan to him, which you claim to have made in 2007 for a couple of $1,000s, and he never paid you back, then I certainly wouldn't advance him any money for a wedding with the expectation that he was going to pay you back, especially when he was going to school. Wasn't even working. What?
Your Honor, Rob wasn't working, and they wanted to get married August 14th, 2009.
Yeah, you go to City Hall, and you say, I do, and that requires probably $7 in the jurisdiction
where you live. Tried that, Your Honor. Tried to talk him into that, Your Honor.
Listen, Mr. Thompson, you don't have to talk him into it. If you made him a loan to pay for his car 2.5 years ago, and you went ahead and spent thousands of dollars on a wedding with the expectation that he was going to pay any part of it, even though he hadn't repaid the thousands you lent him to fix the car 3 years before, that's your problem.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
I have to explain something to you. You don't have to say anything because I got who you are.
And later today...
We were in an open relationship and I wanted to pursue a friend of hers. She wasn't very happy about it.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Samantha Fricke says ex-fiancé Robert Guza owes for the cost of a boat and wedding expenses. Robert is countersuing for the return of knives and wedding rings.
Now, in my mind, there was never an agreement for him to pay you back, or there was never a reasonable expectation, since he wasn't even working, that he could pay you back. All you knew was he had a child, another one on the way, that he had no job, that he was going to school, and that at best, if he ever got himself together and got a job at this career, maybe he could support the family, but he wasn't going to be able to pay you back thousands and thousands of dollars for a three-year-old loan and half of a big wedding. Ridiculous. And you lent him money to buy a boat? Because that's your case.
Yes.
When did you lend him money to buy a boat?
2008.
So after he didn't pay your parents back to fix the car, you lent him money to buy a boat and he was working on weekends?
Yes.
And what was your expectation about getting money back from him? Now, mind you, you're living together, planning a life together, even decided to have another baby together. You expected him to pay you back for that boat?
Yeah.
And you took back the boat, right?
Yeah.
When did you take back the boat?
When he moved out. I asked his dad to bring it over.
So you have the boat?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Good. Because that's all you're going to get from him. The boat. I have to explain something to you. You don't have to say anything because I got who you are. Because it doesn't work out, doesn't create a loan. Hope for the future does not create a loan, even when those hopes are dashed by somebody who doesn't do the right thing, takes up with somebody else. The wedding gets called off. He turns out to be less of a father than you expected. Gifts don't become loans because the wedding didn't work out. What?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. They were never a gift.
Well,
we understood that it might take him a while to pay us back, but we were doing it as a favor for Rob so he could go to school, get a better paying job, be better prepared to take care of the family. But we never told him that we'd fix the car as a gift. He was going to pay us back. He was going to get a job while he went to school, and he didn't.
3 years later, when he didn't pay you back, and you invested in a wedding, again with the expectation that he was going to pay you back, what I'm telling you is you are the adults. You're supposed to be the smart one, and you have to have a reasonable expectation of being paid back for a loan. You had no reasonable expectation of being paid back because he hadn't paid back the first one in 3 years. So you indebted him further in making a big wedding? Ridiculous. It's not going to happen. Now, you have a counterclaim.
Yes.
30 seconds. What is it for?
The wedding band, engagement ring, and my Cutco knives.
Is that ridiculous? Knives?
It's expensive. Ridiculous?
Where are the rings?
I have the engagement ring.
Who paid for it?
I put $1,000 down on it.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Did she put $1,000 down on the rings?
I don't believe so. I have.
No, I don't want to hear believe so.
No, I have the receipts here.
I don't care if you have the receipts, Mr. Guza. That's not what I asked you.
No.
You're going to tell me where you got the money from to put $1,000 down on the rings.
I've been saving for a while.
Show me. Show me a bank account where you had $1,000 to put them down on the rings.
I don't have any of that. I just
got one. Well, that's too bad. Where did you get the $1,000 from?
In my bank account.
Show me. When were the rings purchased?
December 2006, we looked at it. He purchased it, put it on layaway. In April 2007, I gave him the $1,000 to go and put on the ring.
That's what I see here.
And then in October 29th, he actually got the engagement ring and proposed to me in December of 2007.
She's got the withdrawal slip for $1,000.
Your Honor, that could have been for anything.
Tell me what it was for.
I don't know.
Let me see the receipt for the rings.
These are the only two I could find and the only two I have.
Well, this is a layaway, sir.
Yeah, they were on layaway. I was dropping
money off. I understand that they were on layaway. They were on layaway, sir, since when? When did you go into the store and pick out the rings?
It had been early spring of, I'm not even quite sure.
Well, I have a layaway for $800 in February of 2008.
So they would have got started in probably of 2007.
Right. And that's what she has here, $1,000. Do you understand?
I understand.
All right, good. And you paid the rest?
Yes.
Is what you paid $1,000 towards those rings?
Yes.
And he paid the rest?
Yes.
Can I see the rings, please?
I don't have the wedding band.
Where is it?
I don't know. But that's the engagement ring.
That you paid $1,000 for?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So you're going to get your $1,000 back.
Thank you.
Because that's reasonable. And he's going to get the ring back.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And later today,
who paid the bills?
It was partly half and half, but for a lot of time, she wasn't having a dominant stance with
Cisco. Oh. Don't play with me.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Cindy and Terry Thompson and their daughter, Samantha Fricke, claim Samantha's ex-fiancé, Robert Guza, owes for a car repair bill, loans, and wedding costs. Robert is countersuing for the return of knives and wedding rings.
What else? You want knives? Do you know where his knives are?
I don't. He's got his stuff scattered everywhere.
Get over your knife set.
Your Honor, I got a lot of stuff in that house.
Good. How much rent did you pay for all the time you lived there?
They didn't ask for nothing.
It's not what I asked you. I said to you,
zero.
How much rent did you pay them? Zero. They have the knives. Just take care of your responsibility. How much child support do you pay?
None. I got another case here. It's supposed to be at about two something or low. Or
what are you talking about? Give me a number.
Close to 200.
When was the last time you paid it?
I've not paid none yet.
And you want knives? You're lucky you got the rings. Your case is dismissed. She has $1,000. Thank you very much. That's all. And the boat.
Parties are excused, Ms. Stephan.
When he didn't come home from the bar, I went to the bar and I caught him with a 17-year-old girl at the bar.
I was married before and the situation that was happening was what I went through before and I wasn't comfortable with it.
He wasn't the Prince Charming we thought he was.
I think he's a liar, cheat, and a thief.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of Cisco versus Mollett. Step forward.
25-year-old Dakota Cisco is suing his ex-girlfriend, 24-year-old Amanda Mollett, for her share of a bill that was sent to collections.
Mr. Cisco, you and the defendant were boyfriend and girlfriend for a period of time, lived together. according to your complaint, you had a joint bank account. You broke up. Subsequently, sometime later, you were advised that there was a deficit in the bank account. You were being charged several hundred dollars for this overdraft at the bank. You want the defendant to be responsible for half of that because you had a joint bank account. When did you live together, Mr. Cisco?
I moved to the area in...
I didn't ask you when you moved to the area. I asked you when you and the defendant lived together.
When I moved in with her family. That was September of 2004. We lived together until March of 2007.
And did you always live with her family?
No, ma'am. I moved out December of 2004 to an apartment with Amanda.
When did you have a joint bank account?
I was added to the account January of 2005.
Added to her account. So you started to have a joint bank account in January of 2005?
Correct.
And when did you and the defendant separate?
We separated in March of 2007.
Under what circumstances? Did you have a fight?
Our relationship was never, we were in an open relationship. I believe from the beginning, Amanda was never really okay with it and just it bent too far. I wanted to pursue a friend of hers. She wasn't very happy about it and broke ties there.
Now, when you were living together from December of 04 until March of 07, were you employed?
I was, ma'am.
Were you employed?
Yes, ma'am.
How did you handle the household finances, Mr. Cisco?
It was rocky at first with the account.
Not at first. How about in 2006, 2007? How were the finances handled? Who paid the bills?
By that time, I had opened up my own Bank of America account where I used that for my finances.
You were living together. Who paid the rent?
The rent was paid out of the U.S. bank account.
Who paid the bills is my question.
For most of the time, it was joint, but I had the predominant job.
Who paid the bills?
It was partly half and half, but for a lot of time, she wasn't having a dominant stance with...
Cisco!
Yes, ma'am.
Don't play with me. Somebody writes the bills in a household. It's very rarely a joint thing. Somebody takes control of the finances just for the purposes of writing out checks so that two people aren't doing it together, because two people do it together, that's built-in disaster. Somebody doesn't add right, somebody doesn't subtract right. There's an argument, there's a fight, there's a community checkbook. Who paid the bills, Mr. Cisco?
As far as the U.S. bank goes, with the rent checks, I would write them.
Fine. That's what I want to know. You would write them?
Yes, ma'am.
And sign them?
Correct.
So the answer would be you?
Correct.
Yeah, no, we're going to get there eventually, Mr. Cisco.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
Now, I would like to see the check that was written that caused the bank kerfuffle. Who has a copy of it? I'd like to see it. I don't understand this at all. This is for August's rent.
What had happened is that the check was rent for
August of 2006. And you lived together until March of 2007. So you want to explain this to me?
At the time, I was actually working two jobs where Amanda she had a tendency to not go into work all the time. So I basically took up a second job to make sure that we had money. What would happen is I would get my checks, give them to basically make sure the money was given to be deposited. And at that time when I wrote the check, it was under my knowledge that the money was in there. And I wrote the check, dropped it off. I had no idea that it had been bounced, overdrawn. At that time, my sister had moved out to us.
What are you talking about? At that point, your sister had moved out to you. What does that mean?
Well, at that point, she was going to a school for continued education.
I don't care. Was she living with you?
She was.
Was she paying rent?
No.
Why not?
I let her move out. She didn't get along very well with my mother.
Take care of this bill yourself. You signed the check. It's your check. 2006. You don't think I have better things to do? This is your check. You wrote it. From what you're telling me, you had a sister living with you, not paying rent.
No, she moved out after that, ma'am. At the time...
How long did she live with you, Mr. Cisco, this sister who wasn't paying any rent?
It was for 6 months, but it was after that...
Goodbye, Mr. Cisco. Case is dismissed.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy...
No matter who did it, both parties are responsible for it.
He controlled all the money in the relationship at all times.
If she had kept a job and wasn't working as a nanny under the table, she would know how to take care of her responsibilities.
She's ridiculous. She's nobody. She doesn't know what she's talking about. She wasn't in the relationship.
He was very controlling.
I stopped talking to Dakota because he is a horrible person.
She lost friends because of it.
And he's controlling and manipulative.
I want it to be done with, but I want the half that I feel that is fair responsibility.
I'm very happy that it's over.
You can't trust a lot of people.